It is such a delight to be at this church. I am having the time of my life, and I'm just grateful for Pastors Eric and Sandra for inviting me just to be, and along with my wife, Dr. Ellie, to just bring some wood to throw on this great fire that you've got going here. Well, I like to know who's speaking and a little bit of background. So this is... Ellie and I have two sons. The one on the left, that's David. He is a pastor in Bozeman, Montana. The one on the right is Zach. Zach is a doctor of medicine with the U.S. Navy, and he's stationed in Georgia. All right, I have a YouTube channel. It's called Making Life Better with Dr. Wes. And I put together all these little, I call them mini films, on all types of helpful subjects like burnout, three signs that you need a break. Another one, anxiety is not the enemy. We live in a culture that says, oh, you know, if you're anxious, something is wrong. You know, here, take some medicine. And anxiety is often used by God, the same as depression. Depression is not the enemy. Sometimes God uses depression to help us pay attention to things in our life which are not working. And so, you know, I put these videos together to be an extra encouragement to you in times when I'm not here and Pastor Eric or Pastor Sandra is not immediately here to encourage you. But please subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything. You get access to all these videos that I pour my heart into, and it would just be a super encouragement to me. It would be a way of saying thanks, Dr. Wes. So as the young kids say, like and subscribe. All right, this is the basis of my message today. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Now, you know that God's works are wonderful, but not as much as you're going to know just how wonderful by the end of this message. Because I stand at the nexus of theology and scientific discovery. And I love it when those two worlds come together time and time again. Scientific discovery has revealed what God has been saying to us down through the ages. And so this morning, I want to share with you just how fearfully and wonderfully you are made. On the left is Debbie Nichols, on the right, Ann Yeller. Ann Yeller is a good friend to Ellie and myself. Ann and Debbie love mountain biking, and one day they decided to go mountain biking in Whiting Ranch in Southern California, where Ellie and I reside. And Ann, when she was telling me this story, she said, Wes, I was ahead of Debbie, and I came down this hill, and I saw in my peripheral vision this reddish, brownish, furish thing, and I thought I had startled a deer. But she said, nanoseconds later, I realized it was no deer. I was being attacked by a mountain lion. It came upon me with such force and veracity. It knocked me off my bike. It grabbed me. And she said, Wes, this is the first miracle that happened. When I came off my bike, my helmet slipped over and was dangling around my neck. And this mountain lion was trying to get at my neck so he could snap my neck and end my life. But it was getting frustrated. This helmet was just stopping it from getting a purchase on my neck. So the mountain lion instead grabbed me by my face and started dragging me down into the ravine. Moments later, Debbie was there. She saw it all happen. She threw her bike aside. She went down into the ravine as the mountain lion was grabbing a hold of Ann and dragging her down. Debbie Nichols grabbed her ankle and started pulling her back up the ravine, screaming at the top of her lungs, Ann, I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let you die. And so with immense power, she was pulling both Ann and the mountain lion that was attached to Anne with the gravitational force against her, pulling her up. Now, Debbie Nichols is all of about 110 pounds. How does a woman muster that type of strength and presence of mind to be able to do that in that moment? And I'll tell you why, because that's the way God made her. And that's the way God has made you and me. You see, God has... always have to put this slide in. Anne survived the attack miraculously. She was lifted out. The trauma surgeon one of the world-leading trauma surgeons said it looked as if somebody had opened up Anne's entire left side of her face, thrown in handfuls of dirt, and just closed it up. She had surgery upon surgery. She survived it. And then she started to get all the invitations for all the talk shows, Good Morning America, and she said, I'm happy to come, and I'm happy to share my story, but as long as you let me say that it was Jesus who saved me. And so she's an amazing woman, and you notice, you know, she's perfected the art of putting her best side to the camera, the left side of her face. She is still beautiful. Why? Because she's beautiful on the inside, and that makes you beautiful on the outside. But we have within us, every person in this room has kidneys in the back right here, and on top of our kidneys are our adrenal glands. And our adrenal glands are put there by God to release hormones into our system to help us perform in certain situations. When under stress, the adrenal glands release these chemicals that help us do things that often would be considered superhuman responses to drastic situations. So one of those hormones is cortisol, and it's called the stress hormone. And what it does is it turns sugar and fat into energy that can be easily and instantly used by the body. Now, what cortisol does is it suppresses other bodily functions at that time. It's as if the brain is saying, okay, cortisol is needed. First of all, what God does is release adrenaline in our system, and adrenaline jolts our muscles and our whole system into action, followed by this cortisol, which is called the stress hormone, helps us to keep very narrowly focused on the task at hand. And so, you know, other bodily functions that are not needed at that time get shut down, like your digestion system. You know, guys, if we're out there and we're getting chased by a bear, we're not thinking to ourselves, oh, kind of hungry right now. Man, I should have stopped off and had that burrito before. No, because your digestive system is shut down. Your body is saying, listen, we need all hands on deck to focus on this survival situation here. Another part of our human system that shuts down when we're full of cortisol is our reproductive system. You know, they say that guys, we're constantly thinking about sex. Well, you know, when we're getting chased by a bear, we're not thinking about that. Got a few wives in the house going, honey, we should get a pet bear. You know, we also have released within our system a neurosteroid called dehydroepiandrosterone. Now, I don't expect you to be able to say that with me or even remember it. They shorten it by saying DHEA. But dehydroepiandrosterone is a neurosteroid, a hormone that helps your brain to grow. Now, decades and decades ago, scientists thought that when we were born with a full complement of brain cells. And then we basically spend the rest of our lives burning through those brain cells to the point that when we're old, we're as dumb as a box of rocks. That's not true. What scientific discovery has revealed is that we can generate brain cells, new brain cells, right up until the final hours of our life here on Earth. And dehydroepiandrosterone is responsible for stimulating, they call it neurogenesis, the stimulation of new brain cells. Now, is there any guy in the house here that has ever spent any time in a gym and, you know, you have a few muscles to show for it? Come on, let's see your hands. Any guys in the house? Come on. All right. Andrew. Come on up here on the platform. I'm going to ask Pastor Eric if he can help here. All right. By the way, man, your vocal cords just enter me into the presence of God. I tell you, So, all right, let me just get proof. I have proof. I won't get you to take your shirt off.
My wife's not here. I wish my wife was here.
You wish your wife was here.
I wish my wife was here for the service.
Well, we'll see. I ain't done with you yet. Okay, so when you're in the gym and let's say you're working out, you know, with dumbbells and you're really pumping your muscles, the next day after, you know, when you've really given your muscles a workout, how do your muscles feel?
Sore.
Sore. Yeah. Why are they sore?
Because stretched them, worked them, I don't know.
Yes, yes. You've actually stretched them so much that you've caused what we call micro tears.
Okay.
And Dr. Matthew, you will understand what that is when you go to medical school. So you cause micro tears within the muscle fibers, and that's why they ache. And so the body responds to that by releasing testosterone, which repairs those muscles. Okay. And not only does it repair the muscle, making it stronger, but it makes it stronger by adding more muscle fiber there. And that's why you end up with guns like, yeah, look at that, man. That is so good. So impressive. Okay, go ahead. Take your shirt off. No, I just... oh, look. Andrew, if you could take Pastor Bucci to the gym, you know, just a little... No, seriously. Seriously, Sandra, you are a blessed woman, I tell you. All right, so enough of that. But that dehydroepiandrosterone does to the brain what testosterone does to muscles. It builds the brain. It creates the stimulation of new brain cells. What dehydroepiandrosterone does is it helps you grow, helps you increase your brain capacity through stressful experiences. So so which is better, cortisol or dehydroepiandrosterone? Yes, Sandra, that's what I was thinking. Well, of course, that's better. But actually, both are really important, but just different reasons. What scientific researchers have discovered, and this comes out of Stanford University, and I love it because they're just time and time again, without intending to, reinforcing what God put into our design. It's the ratio that's most important. See, when we have high cortisol and low dehydroepiandrosterone, when we're in that configuration, it's been associated with harm to the immune system. And also it's been linked to depression, which is, you know, when you think of it, we live in a culture, don't we? We live in a society which is constantly, you know, trying to leverage our curiosity with fear by giving us bad news all the time. Isn't it news out there? It's predominantly bad news. It's triggering our fear mechanism, which does what to our system? It causes our system to release cortisol into our bloodstream all the time. And so what we end up with is just like being overdosing on cortisol, high cortisol, low dehydroepiandrosterone. And what that does is it makes us more susceptible to illness. My son, who is the doctor of medicine, said, Dad, what you're talking about there is when your immune system is down, we are more susceptible to the pathogens. We call them opportunistic pathogens. Seeking a host whose immune system is depressed, and then that pathogen can move into that host. And so what happens when we have so much cortisol, the stress hormone running around in our system, which God intended for us to have cortisol, but he intended it for, you know, for very specific situations and for only minutes and maybe a few hours at a time, not for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We wonder why there's a lot of people suffering from adrenal fatigue. It's because our adrenal glands are constantly pumping cortisol into our system. And so what God intended to get us out of a tough situation in, you know, for minutes and maybe hours, you know, the world has got us in a state of hyper alertness where we've got more cortisol than we need running around in our system. And when we're in this configuration, then we're kind of setting ourselves up for experiencing more illness in our lives and more depression. So if you switch it and you've got high dehydroepiandrosterone and low cortisol, which is the configuration that God wants us to be most of the time, unless we're getting chased by a bear, and then we can flip it. But when we're in this configuration, this has been linked to reduced anxiety and depression. It's been linked to reduced heart disease. It's been linked to reduced brain cell deterioration. And so it's like, well, I'd like to be in that configuration all the time, because what Stanford University researchers under the leadership of Dr. Kelly McGonigal, she calls this the growth index, because when you have high dehydroepiandrosterone, low cortisol, then it does this to the system. It creates within you a greater ability to have persistence, a greater bounce back from challenges, resilience, higher performance, greater focus, superior problem-solving skills. You know how some of us, you know, when we're really ultra-stressed, we forget things? It's like we forget where we put the car keys, or we forget somebody's name, and it's just, it's not because you've got early onset Alzheimer's. It's because you've got a lot of cortisol running through your system, and what cortisol does is it narrows your focus. You become very myopic when you have so much, and of course, because you're trying to overcome a specific challenge at hand. So don't speak over yourself, oh my goodness, I'm experiencing early onset dementia. No, you first ask yourself, what type of stress have I been under? So how do you activate the growth index? It's like, how do I have the configuration the way God intended it to be most of the time, unless I'm being chased by a bear? And it's simply this: change your view about stressful events. Change your view. See, we live in a culture that stress is bad. You know, if you've got stress, you've got to, you know, we got to eliminate stress from our lives. I don't believe that. We need a certain amount of stress. You know, Pastor Eric told me about the rundown clock on the back wall. That's giving me stress right now. It's like, it's an appropriate level of stress. But, you know, John, who's up here, I won't mess with it, John. But he's up here, and all the strings in his guitar have an appropriate level of stress. But if he was all super compassionate, you know, and go, oh, that puts the steel strings under stress, let me just loose them off so they become all floppy, what type of noise would he be able to create? Not a good noise, certainly not a joyful noise. Stress in ways is absolutely appropriate, but it comes down to your view about stressful events. And there's two types of views that we can have. The first view is the fear and worry view of stress. And that's typified by statements that we might say to ourselves like, I can't handle this. This will do me in. I'm done. This will be the death of me. How many times have we spoken those words over our lives? I don't think I'll be able to do this. And what we do when we speak those words over our lives, we let our system know that we need to be on hyper alert. So adrenaline gets flushed into our system, followed by cortisol into our system. Because what we're doing when we say those things over ourselves in our stressful situation is like, you're in a life-threatening situation. So that's one opportunity that you have. Have a fear and worry view of stressful events, or you can have a growth-oriented view of stressful events. And that would be something like this: I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me and He will bring good out of it. All right, I am in the right house today. Let's stand up. If you believe this, and I know you do, let's stand up and let's say this together. And we're going to say it a few times. On the count of three, I know I have a funny accent from way down south, but I think you're tracking with me. So on the count of three, all together, 1, 2, 3. I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me and He will bring good out of it. That is a great practice run. Hang on. That was just a practice run. Now we're going for it. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me and he will bring good out of it. Again, I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me and he will bring good out. Again, I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me and he will bring good out of it. Again, I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me and he will bring good out of it. Do you feel something in your back kind of tingles when you say that, when you declare that? You have changed your body chemistry just by the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart. Stay standing with me again. On the count of three, let's do this together because you're so good at it. One, two, three. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. One, two, three. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Well done. Those are the words of God that you can speak over your life. And when you're speaking these over your life, you're going to get yourself into the growth zone. You're going to have the ratio round the right way. Go ahead and relax. You did so good, church. And I'm coming in to land the plane now. So, you know, we're going to be confronted with stressful events in our life. That is inevitable. But how you view your stressful events, that's optional. You have the choice. You can have a fear and worry view of stressful events, and what you're going to do there is just flood your system with cortisol and kind of train your brain that life itself is a stressful event. Or you can have a growth view of stressful events. I believe, regardless of what I face, God is with me, and he'll bring good out of it. What you do, you get the ratio around the right way, more dehydroepiandrosterone. And what does that do? It stimulates the production of new brain cells, neurogenesis. And you know the cool thing about, what's your name?
Robert,
the cool thing is God, because you've been a good steward of your hormonal system, you've got it around the right way. God is stimulating more brain cells within you. Then God says, okay, what are we going to do to deploy them? Let's give those brain cells a purpose. And here's part of the purpose. It's like you got to the other side of this catastrophic event and you sensed the presence of God, even though it was hard. You felt the love of the community of people that you gather with. And it's like, you get to now have a testimony, brain cells that are dedicated to your experience of having survived. And you can use those brain cells to inspire and encourage others. We're all going to go through it. Oh, Pastor Eric and Pastor Sandra and myself, we wish we could give you a guarantee that you're not going to go through it. You're going to go through it. We live in a crazy world. You're going to go through it. But my question to you is this. Are you going to go through it? Or are you going to grow through it? It's your choice. It's your choice. I've always loved this scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I've always looked at that through, you know, a metaphorical sense. You know, the heart is like metaphorically the center of the body and the minds, you know, the spirit of it. And I've always looked and I've always experienced the benefits of this scripture. And when it says, do not be anxious about anything, if you go back to the original Greek there, anxiety is not a sin. It's what it's saying there in the original Greek, do not become imprisoned by your anxiety. But then I read this scientific research that said, when you've got higher levels of dehydroepiandrosterone in your system, it's associated to reduced heart disease and reduced brain cell deterioration. In fact, it stimulates the production of new brain cells. And then I thought, it's not only metaphorical, it's literal. That when you meditate on God's word, you're getting your hormones around the way that God intended for them to be most of the time. And sometimes people come to me and they say, you know, when they're going through it, and they say, Dr. Wes, sometimes when I pray, I'm going through a hard situation and I'm praying and I just, sometimes it just makes me more anxious. And that's why I believe in both prayer. Oh, I'm a believer in prayer. But we don't give as much thought to meditation. And as a doctor of clinical psychologist and a Jesus follower, there are certain times where prayer is the go-to, and there's certain times when meditation is the go-to. Because when you're ultra-stressed, sometimes it's hard to think of the words. God, I don't know what to say. And we end up going, God, why? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. Why? And that's not a good prayer. Go with meditation. The scriptures are full. Do not become anxious. Do not be, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Meditate on these things. Be still and know that I am God. So when you're struggling with your prayer life, just go to meditation. And that's why it's always good to be in your word and also to commit the promises of God to memory so that you can meditate on them. Pastor Eric, come on up here. You know, I've just been reminding your people of just how fearfully and fearfully doesn't mean like God's in heaven going, oh my goodness, I hope this works. I don't want to blow it. This is the pinnacle of it. It means with awe and reverence.
Right.
With awe and reverence we're made. And the Bible also says it's the Father God chose to speak the world into existence through his Son, yes. Jesus. And so Jesus is the pinnacle of it all. You know, I loved what you said in just previously. You said, you know, Christian philosophy will make your life better. But knowing Jesus, can you talk to us?
Yeah.
Talk to us about knowing Jesus.
Yeah. You know, it's such an amen. You know, we're in a spiritual battle, and the primary way the enemy tries to go after us, he's called the father of lies. So if he can get us to believe a lie, because Jesus says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If the truth sets you free, a lie will hold you in bondage. And so really, a lot of the time, the enemy's trying to get us to think the wrong thoughts. Jesus has said, in this world, you will have trouble, but rejoice, for I have overcome it. And we talk about this all the time, that when you're in Christ, you fight from victory, not for victory. But when you're not in Christ, you fight from defeat. And Jesus loves every person in this room. And he died for you. And the reason you're alive is because God has a purpose and he has a plan for you far better than you ever could be. We see so short-sighted of this life. You're created for eternity with God. And so the question is, one day you're going to have to face God. And the truth is, here's the good news. Jesus died on the cross for us to pay for all of our sins. That's good news. And here's also good news. You're not good enough. But with Jesus, you are. For he made him who knew no sin become sin for us, that we would know the righteousness of God. And so I know this world's all about competing. Who's going to be the better one? Who is the up and outs? And no, God has called all of us. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standards. But through Christ, we're new. We're born again. And so I want to encourage you today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day of salvation. We don't know if we have tomorrow. And so how are you with Jesus? And listen, if you're going through a series, I went through about a year of doubt where I didn't know if God was really real. And if you're in that position, we're here for you. But I want to encourage you that Jesus loves you and that he has a plan for your life. It's not an accident that you're here today. It's not an accident you're watching online as well, either now or 10 years from now. Who knows how God will use this? But he's calling you. He loves you. And so what he requires of you is very simply this. You must believe he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. And you also must be willing to surrender your life and say, I'm not in charge anymore. See, a lot of people think, because I believe in Jesus, I'm good to go. But the devil believes more in Jesus than anyone in this room. It's not about believing. It's about surrendering and making him the Lord of your life and saying, I'm going to believe what God says, not what I want to say. Not what I want to believe. And so you don't have to get your act together because you'll never be able to do that adequately. Isn't that good news? But you know what you can get together? Your surrender. When someone's defeated, they wave the white flag, I surrender. If you're able to do that today and say, God, I surrender my life to you, then today you can become a follower and a son and daughter of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a minute. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you'll join in with this prayer with your heart, you can begin a new life in Christ today, become born again. And you must believe he exists, he rose again from the dead, and you must be willing to say, I'm giving my life to him, I'm not in charge anymore. And maybe you've never done that, or maybe you used to walk with God, but you're not walking anymore, you're back in charge fully. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to pray a prayer in a few moments. In the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can come in agreement with you. Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. And so in the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and leave your hand up till I make eye contact with you, and we're going to pray a prayer together. If you want to give your life to Christ for the first time or renew your commitment, in the count of three, one, two, three. Just raise your hand till I see it. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Anybody else here in the middle? Yes. Anyone over here? Yes, yes. Anyone else? As I scan the room one more time. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. Let's agree with this in prayer. It's the heart and the mouth. So repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. Today, I willingly step down. I declare you are God. I give you my life. You are now in charge. In Jesus' name, I ask you now to forgive me of all of my sins, both known and unknown. Thank you because I believe in you and I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart, I am now a child of you. In Jesus' name, amen.